T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh yeah, I mean, he's one of the leaders of this club, and he's the leader of the bullpen, and he impacts any team he would be on, right? And what he's done and what he's capable of doing for a ball club is it's really good. You know, it lengthens our bullpen and gives us another option. And you only have to manage eight inning ball games now as soon as he goes back out there to the ninth.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Michael Kopech on the bump for the Chicago White Sox today, and all eyes will be on him, and most certainly all eyes will be on Pedro Grifol, who you just heard from, and trying to figure out when will he allow Liam Hendricks to get back on the mound for his first start after battling and defeating stage 4 cancer right there, man. And really just an inspiring story. I think, you know, for most fans, you hear about it, and a lot of people know people that have overcome, you know, cancer in one way or another. And so it's one of those things that's said so often that sometimes you forget how serious that can be. And I mean, I'll be honest, I was guilty of it as well. But the moment you begin to talk to some of the White Sox beat writers, the moment you get to speak with, you know, former players and even current players, you really start to realize they are closer than we are. And they understand the significance and importance of Liam Hendricks being back in Major League Baseball. It's a motivational story, not only for the Chicago White Sox, but for the entire league. And Pedro, speaking before the game today, you know, really leaned into the fact that, you know, there's a bigger picture here when it comes to Liam Hendricks.
This is bigger than baseball, right? This is about life and the diagnosis and the comeback and how he did it and now how good he was prior to and how good he's going to be afterwards. And this is just bigger than the game itself. What he's done and how he's done it has been remarkable. It's an inspiration to everybody on this club. It's an inspiration to everybody who follows the game and knows of Liam. I'm just looking. I think we're all looking forward to seeing him on that mound for the first time.
Last time Liam pitched, October 3rd. Got the save, one inning, struck out the side. I mean, think about that. Liam Hendricks' last 4 outings, 4 saves, 2 hits, 9 strikeouts. That's nasty. That is nasty. And so any team is going to welcome back a guy that can do something like that for you. And you hear Pedro Grifol mention, like, it's much easier to manage an 8-inning game when you know that you can easily just give the ball to Liam Hendricks to take care of that ninth. But he did mention, you know, when it comes to Liam, they are going to be taking certain precautionary measures.
No, actually, we want him to. You know, that's where he'll take up his velocity, his intensity, his focus. So, we're actually waiting for the game adrenaline to see where exactly he really is.
Yeah, and that's the idea, right? They don't want to overstress him, but they do understand that, you know, they do want to get him into some, you know, important situations. But they talked to Pedro Grifol as to whether or not, you know, Liam would be thrust into that closing position.
Liam's a part of our pen now. We'll, you know, the idea for me is in talking to him is to, you know, break him in another inning that's not the ninth inning. However, baseball has a way of handling that itself. I would not hesitate to do it. But right now our conversations have been, you know, throwing innings prior to the ninth.
And that's really what you want to hear. I don't think anyone on the Sox organization is saying you must throw Liam Hendricks or You know, you must put him in there from the very beginning. Give him an opportunity. But, you know, when you're looking at the bullpen for the Chicago White Sox, it's in good shape right now, got to be honest. You know, obviously, Cubs fans not feeling too good about their situation over there and their closer situation. But, you know, Kendall Graveman's been doing a good job. I know Reynaldo Lopez probably wished he would have got the ball in the ninth instead of a Joe Kelly, you know, or the other day instead of a Joe Kelly. But I get it. Pedro Cafol was trying to, you know, build some confidence in their guys. Aaron Bummer's there. Garrett Crochet's finally back. Jimmy Lambert, you know, capable. Gregory Santos, we know what you can expect for him. But creating the competition in the bullpen and in the closer situation without Liam Hendricks has made that position group even better than they were last year. And that's where they're sitting at right now. Rick Hahn talked about Liam Hendricks as well and his thoughts on his comeback.
When we initially got the initial prognosis, I don't think anyone would have been shocked if the response to a stage 4 lymphoma diagnosis was we weren't going to see the guy pitch this year. Or if we initially announced, hey, you know, he's probably going to be gone till at least the All-Star break, I don't think anyone would have batted an eye with that timeline. But Liam and his wife Christy from the start were committed to getting back as quickly as humanly possible. I think the May timeline that he had in his own mind throughout was a bit of a motivator for him and something that I think could hopefully serve as a motivator to others who are suffering through similar diagnoses. So truly a remarkable accomplishment by Liam and by Christy and by all those involved in the rehabilitation and getting him back.
You feel it. You hear it in Rick Hahn's voice when talking about Liam Hendricks and, you know, just how important he is to the team. I think Pedro's quote there about it's easier to manage an 8-inning game should really stand out because that's how most people feel. Rick Hahn's like, I get a lot less stress when I have Liam closing games and I'm not losing it in the ninth. I think Liam himself, you know, throwing bullpen sessions in training and in spring training is crazy. And then to think, you know, you're out back with a couple of rehab starts, you know, with a couple of months in between. Like, what? But Hendricks, if you know Liam Hendricks, and I've had the chance to talk to him here on The Score a couple times, what he told Rick Hahn just wasn't surprising to absolutely anyone.
And he told me that first day of spring, he goes, I'm going to be back, you know, before those six, I could be back before those 60 days are up. And I was like, hey, that's great. Good news. Good to hear. I'm going to go talk to somebody who, you know, is part of the rehabilitation. And they were like, he's committed and it is every bit possible that he's going to be back within those 60 days. Now, today, I believe, is day 60, maybe 61. So he was very close to it. And he was very clear that he was part of his motivation was to get back as quickly as possible. And he didn't want to rule out the first 2 months of the season. Now, the fact is he was able to do so much while still getting treatment. I mean, it did hit him for a few days, as it would anybody. But the fact that he was able to maintain somewhat of a throwing schedule and was occasionally off a mound and was still able to long toss and be by the complex, he never really sort of atrophied his base down all the way to zero, and that allowed him to come back once he was cleared in the course over, you know, basically 5 or 6 weeks, which, again, is awfully remarkable.
Got some text messages about Lonzo Ball, what we were talking about that earlier. And then someone just texted in and said, so you're telling me that Liam Hendricks is coming back from cancer sooner than Lonzo Ball? Like, dude, that's harsh, bro. Let the guy chill, man. But Liam Hendricks back on the roster today. Jimmy Lambert, as a result, hits the 15-day DL with ankle inflammation. I saw that and I thought to myself, is that BS? Ankle inflammation, like, did we just make that up, throw him on the 15-day and, you know, so you didn't have to do something else? Probably, but I like it. I like sneaky things like that. I like sneaky things like that. My biggest complaint about the White Sox recently has been that, unlike the Cubs, who have been able to bring up a Matt Mervis, a Christopher Morel, bring up a Javier Assad, you know, to fill out the bullpen, the Sox team is who they are, and they don't have that luxury. But there are some names that we hear often. And so while Rick Hahn was talking about Liam Hendricks, he did get asked a question by a prospect that a lot of us can't wait to see, and it is Colson Montgomery.
Colson is in extended doing baseball activities and slowly ramping up. Ramos joined Kannapolis and is getting close to joining Birmingham this week.
Yeah. See a little Colson. Why not? Hopefully we get to wait till September to see something like that, so that way we don't have to admit that the Sox are out of contention way before that one. But the Sox, of course, losing 3 out of 4 to the Detroit Tigers. They get an opportunity to right the ship today against the Los Angeles Angels. Michael Kopech on the mound. We'll keep a close eye on that one. But earlier today, Cubs get the victory 1-0 versus the Tampa Bay Rays. You heard it right here on 670. The score, Marcus Stroman. Complete game. A CG. Who calls it a CG? Right? I feel like
Stroman does a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Am I doing it wrong? And if I say CG, are people going to think I'm stupid because they're not going to know what I'm talking about? CG, baby. CG Stro. That's what I'm going to call him from now on next time I hear from him. But complete game. 9 innings pitched. Gave up just 1 hit, 1 walk, struck out 8. And just, it was exactly what the Cubs needed in this position. After getting swept by the Cincinnati Reds, and this is what a 500 team does. This right here is exactly what a 500 team does. They lose to the Reds 3 straight games, but then they let you know that they're still good enough to beat the best team in baseball. That's literally, and then they win the first game, right? So that when game 2 comes and it's 7-2 Tampa Bay, you're just like, ah, damn it, that was a fluke. But hopefully not. Kyle Hendricks on the bump tomorrow. Gets an opportunity to make it two straight. What do you think, Alex? I mean, last game he did 4 1/3, which I thought was crazy. Threw 86 pitches in that one. That was a high pitch count there. You think he goes over 5 tomorrow?
I do. I think
against the Rays,
maybe not over 5. I'll say right at 5.
Okay.
Now he's gonna have to be pretty good because the Cubs are going against one of the best pitchers in baseball. And when you watch Shane McClanahan pitch, the ball just moves different coming out of his hand than pretty much anybody in Major League Baseball. So I think that David Ross is hoping we need to get at least a little bit of length out of the professor.
5 innings would be good. I think most Cubs fans would be happy with that. I think Rossi would be happy with that. I think Kyle Hendricks would be happy with that. To get that type of an outcome, doesn't need to be a bunch of strikeouts. Keep the walks to a minimum and keep the game close enough. So that way the bullpen themselves has an opportunity to prove themselves wrong.
And they should be rested after today.
Yeah. Yes. This is great. All right, we get to continue our Cubs conversation. Well, none other than Bruce Levine, one half of Inside the Clubhouse, David Haw. He'll be hanging out with us, give us his thoughts on Marcus Stroman's performance. And does he think that the Cubs can make it 2 in a row with Kyle Hendricks? We talk to Bruce Levine after the break. It's Gabe Ramirez on Memorial Day right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The score.
Here comes the 1-2 to Bethencourt. And he swings and misses, and that's out number 1. Stroman gets his first strikeout of the day. And now the 3-2. The lead at first by Rayleigh. No score, third inning. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. Siri is out number 2. He will take strike 3 called. A Rosarena called out on strikes. Stroman gets his 4th strikeout of the day.
Pat Hughes with the call right there on 670 The Score. We went through 4, but he had 8 on the day. Of course, we're talking about Marcus Stroman. As the Cubs defeat the Tampa Bay Rays 1-0 after a complete game, 1-hit shutout by Stro. And right now we get an opportunity to talk about the game a little bit more. With our next guest joining us right here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. He is our baseball analyst here at The Score, also a contributor for the Marquee Sports Network. And you can hear him on Saturdays Inside the Clubhouse with David Haw. Of course, we're talking about the legendary Bruce Levine. Bruce, what's up, man? How are you?
How are you doing, Gabe? Yeah, it was a great day at the ballpark today. And what a performance by Marcus Stroman. Just unbelievable command, and I had him eating out of the palm of his hand all day long. And it's a shame he gave up a hit because it was one of the more dominant performances on a team that has had a lot of dominant performances by their starting pitchers. Unfortunately, hasn't translated into a great team record at this point.
Yeah, Wander Franco got the opposite hit right there. It was like a little blooper. And even when you saw it happening in real time, Bruce, you were like, no, not the blooper to break up the no-no. It just but Stroman took it in stride. It seemed like it didn't affect it too much. Like he said himself, he didn't realize that he had the no-hitter going anyway.
Right. Well, you know, again, it's just a man at work. That's how you look at him. He's a determined guy. You know, kind of a introvert out and extrovert at the same time. When he talks, he has a lot to say. When he's on social media, he has a lot to say. When he's in his own world and his world of pitching, he is certainly locked into that frame of mind and that kind of zen moment for himself when he's in that mode. So it's been fun to watch him. I don't think the record over the last 2 years shows just how good he has pitched. There were a lot of games last year that he pitched extremely well and the defense just wasn't there for him. Had some injury situations last year. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Cubs are able to hold on to him after this year. He's got one more year left on a contract after this, but he can walk away from that contract after this season. He has that clause in there where he can shop himself on the market and end the 3-year deal with the Cubs. So we'll see how that shakes out.
Bruce, we were talking earlier on the show, had a lot of calls coming in, and I posed the question. I said, you know, if he is to opt out and, you know, you do want to extend them to some degree, you know, how many years would that be? I'm interested in your take on that. And then one of the calls that I got that was really good, well, he's like, well, if we still got Jameson Taillon and we're paying him $18 million a year, like how much do we have to give Marcus Stroman? So what does that number look like to you, and how many years would you give a guy who just turned 32 on May 1st?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's very risky to give long-term contracts to guys that are that old. And not because they're not worth it. They are. I mean, Stroman's worth that kind of money. I'm not big on giving pitchers 4 or 5 year deals after 30 years of age. It just doesn't usually work out. And, you know, that's not saying that Marcus is not going to dominate and go somewhere else and do it. But I just think that for the Cubs organization, right now, it's all about promoting more pitchers from within and identifying those. And, you know, maybe Stroman stays this year. He wants to stay. He's getting paid a lot of money. You know, for next year, he's going to get another $22, $23 million. So it's not like he's getting chump change. if he thinks he's a $30 million pitcher and someone will give him a 4 or 5 year contract for $30 million a year, I imagine he'll have to take it. But the risk reward is too great for me for pitchers that are 31, 32 years old, giving them long-term deals. I'm all for paying Marcus Stroman, you know, for a couple of years, you know, $27, $28 million, if that's what he wants. But I'm not into the big numbers for older pitchers. It just doesn't work out, and it's too risky, I think.
We're talking to Bruce Levine here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez here. So let's look at the other side of that, because some other calls were coming in. Joe from Orland Park, can't forget that one because people were coming down on him hard because he suggested the notion of a trade. You know, it's for what you just said too, Bruce, allowing other guys to get some innings and have opportunities. With you saying that, you know, you wouldn't be willing to give him that much money or a longer contract, is that something that you would have on the table?
Well, I don't know if you have to go to one extreme to another. If you do trade him, you know, the other team's only getting him for a couple months. So he's automatically going to be a free agent if you trade him. That other team, you know, is likely not going to be able to sign him. So what do you get back for him for a 2-month rental is the question. If he continues to be dominant like he is, you might get more than you think. You might get, you know, top one or two player from another organization, maybe a top, you know, top five pick, top five prospect from some other team. I think that might be worth it. Look, the Cubs are still rebuilding. Okay, does anything tell you, you know, a Central Division championship or competing for the World Series this year? I don't think we're there yet. They've had some really good moments for a lot of their a lot of their players, and they have better players this year. They're a much more entertaining team, a better defensive team. But I don't think it's quite there yet. They have a ways to go before they're a championship caliber team. And, you know, you look at pitching and you say, well, Stroman might be that answer for them. I think he's the right pitcher at the wrong time for the Chicago Cubs. That's how I'd phrase it. He's certainly worthy. He's been great for them. I think he'll continue to pitch well for the next few years, but I just don't think the timing of it is right for the Cubs.
Yeah, it's tough. Tough situation for him to be in, tough situation for the organization to be in, especially, you know, pitching the way he has those last three outings. And this season, at the beginning of the season, he was just lights out as well. So, I mean, you're right. Right pitcher, wrong time. It'll be interesting to see what the Cubs do with him. One other thing we were talking about before we move on from Stroman is how tall he is. Now, obviously, you've been able to be right next to him. Is that 5'7", like an athlete's 5'7", where he's really 5'5"? Or is he really, you know, a 5'7¼" when you've been next to him, Bruce?
The athlete he is, I don't look at him as small, okay? I just don't. He's a terrific athlete. He's strong. He's got a really strong body. The guy throws extremely hard, you know. So I don't look at people that are short in height as being small. I look at them at the whole body, the body of work, how they portray themselves, and I just look at the guy as a really great athlete and a really good pitcher. So from all of that, I'm a big fan of Marcus Stroman. Don't see anything small about him.
Yeah, his eyes clearly has nothing to do with his pitching performance because he threw a gem today. 9 innings pitched, 1 hit. 8 strikeouts and 1 walk as the Cubs defeat the Tampa Bay Rays today, 1-0. Another thing that, you know, myself and a lot of the fans were scratching our heads about today, Bruce, was the lineup construction. And it seems as though Rossi's getting a lot of crap for, you know, what he's been doing with the team, you know, throwing Mastroboni at the top of the order, moving Nico down one, you know, having, you know, Morel out and Patrick Wisdom coming in that pinch hitting situation. Do you feel the same way as a lot of these fans do, where sometimes you question the lineup of the Chicago Cubs, or is it just a matter of, you know, finding guys some days off?
Well, I just think that on a given day, Ross is just trying to match up and get the best matchup out there. He sat Morel today. He sat Wisdom after hitting 2 home runs yesterday. I mean, I questioned him about that before the game. I said, well, how do you do a lineup construction, you know, with a guy that hit 2 home runs yesterday and that you got a pitcher that's reverse splits, that righties hit better than lefties. And Ross was candid. He said, well, you know, Wisdom's been struggling before those 2 home runs. He struck out 30 times in his last 56 at-bats. You know, that tells you everything you need to know about not making a lot of contact. And he felt today he wanted a different lineup with some more left-handed hitters in there. And maybe you see he moves Swanson down. He moved Horner down. So from the whole ball wax, they're just searching for a way to produce runs. They didn't produce a lot of them. They produced 1, which was enough today. But that's just the way it goes, you know, at this point in time.
Yeah, and you try to, you know, you try to make some sense of it, but I think that's really what it is. I think it's just, you know, Rossi's trying to do his best with what he has, and you know, sometimes he has a gut feeling, and he allows for that to be just the case. You know, when you're looking at the Cubs, Bruce, you know, sitting there, you know, a couple games out of first in the NL Central, you know, what direction do you see the team going in? I mean, like I was mentioning a lot today where, you know, you get swept by the Reds over the weekend, and then obviously on the back of Marcus Stroman, you defeat the team with the best record in Major League Baseball, and it kind of gives you that fuel in the short term, but you're still where you're at in the present. So, I mean, when you see a victory like this, is it just that? Is it just, you know, the another notch in the season of a team that's, you know, more than likely going to be around 500? Or do you see this being a squad that, you know, Hoyer can make some moves and it puts them in a better position to take the division?
Well, look, they have really good starting pitching. They got 3 of the better starting pitchers in the National League right now in Smiley and Stroman and Steele. So you know, every five-man rotation, you can project that you have a chance to win three of those games out of every five, you know, going in. That's 600 baseball if you just break it down simplistically, okay? They're not going to win all those, but they're going to be in a lot of those games. So it's not all doom and gloom for the Cubs. The bullpen has been, you know, really tough. I mean, the veterans that they brought in this year have not gotten the job done. There's been a lot of games that have been left on the table because of the fact that they just had not have a good bullpen, and run production has been erratic. So the Cubs are a unfinished product team. They woke up today with the worst record in the National League, yet they were only five games out of the division, okay? Because it's a mediocre division with the teams that are struggling to find out who they are as well. So at some point, Gabe, Hoyer asked himself around June 30th, are we a team that has a chance to make the playoffs with a sub 500 record, or are we a team that have a chance to get ourselves some more really good players if we trade away the Bellingers and the Stromans and the people that are out there with 1 year left? Do you even dare to think about trading Yan Gomes in the last year of his contract, knowing how important he's been to development of the pitchers on this team? So there's a lot of tough questions that Hoyer and his front office have to ask themselves within this next month. June will be the month where it proves out whether or not they think that it's worthwhile to continue to try to contend for 2023 or move on and get more good players in trades for 2024. The likelihood of you holding on to Bellinger isn't very realistic going into next year. Gomes might want to stay. He's been a really good player and a leader for them. You have Amaya, who's probably going to be called up here in the next couple months and do a lot of the catching. And Barnard has done a good job, but he can't hit. So from that perspective, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered here over the next 30 days.
What a tough position to be in, you know, where you have to make the right one. You don't have to, but, you know, you want to make the right one, I should say, Bruce. And you just know there's a ton of pressure there because you want to make the fan base happy. You want to make the right decisions for your organization. But at the same time, you want to put your team in a position to be successful and competitive for the next couple of years. We're talking to Bruce Levine here on 670 The Score. I'm Gabe Ramirez. You know, the guy who's going to be on the bump tomorrow, Kyle Hendricks, you know, had a decent outing for his first time in a little less than a year. What'd you think of that first start? And what are your expectations for the second go-round?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's been, you know, this is the second start in almost 10 months. Kyle had, you know, didn't really have the command that he needed, but he did show decent velocity being up there at 88, 89 for him. That's pretty good. He's got to stay up there at 88, 89. So the breaking stuff has a differential there that the hitters can't notice. If he's down at 87, 86, and the breaking ball is at 80, it's not going to really work out too well for him. So pinpoint command is something that he needs. And, you know, again, will Kyle Hendricks be on the trade block if he develops into the pitcher that he was over, you know, his great career? I know everyone's rooting for him, but it's been a little while since he's been that Kyle Hendricks.
I got to be honest, Bruce. I'm part of the group that does want him does want the Cubs to get something back in return for him. I just think they have a lot of arms. You know, the rotation looks, they got guys that can step in and eat up some innings and play particularly well. So if you got a guy like Hendricks, every team could use a back end starter. So if he does continue to pitch well, you know, you try to get something for him. But what does that market even look like? Not necessarily one that wants a starting pitcher, but you know, what is the return? If let's assume that he's a guy that can give you 5-6 innings and you know, create that 9-10 mile per hour difference between the fastball and the changeup. What does that look like in terms of, you know, assets in return?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, you know, you got a veteran pitcher who's been through the wars, was on the hill when they won a National League championship, on the hill when started the game when they won the World Series. I mean, you know, he's a legendary pitcher in the Cub organization. He'll go down as one of the best pitchers and one of the most important pitchers in the franchise history. But at this point in time, it's all about, you know, he's going to be 34 in July, I mean in August, and what you can get back for him is probably the best answer. I mean, nobody stays around forever, and I think Kyle knows that as well. Him being a terrific guy on top of being an outstanding pitcher makes it even harder to talk about him leaving the franchise, because I think the Cubs, you know, realize what a great citizen and person he's been in that clubhouse for all these years, and what a joy he's been for the media to cover. Just a real gentleman and always there, you know, for you, as cooperative as anybody could be, and helping us send out the message about what's going on with him and the rest of the team.
We're talking to Bruce Levine here on 670 The Score, our baseball analysts and co-host of Inside the Clubhouse. Make sure you guys check that out on The Score as well every Saturday. You know, speaking of great individuals and good human beings, you know, not enough can be said about Liam Hendricks and his character and his journey back to Major League Baseball. You know, I know you've been following that, Bruce. Some, you know, what was that like for you seeing the news come down that he was going to be a part of the Sox roster today?
Well, after I was at the Cubs today, I was over at the White Sox and just shaking hands with him, wishing him good luck. He wasn't talking to the media. He'll talk tonight after he pitches. I expect him to, one way or another, to be in the game tonight and get that adrenaline thing going again, and just getting this great story back in perspective of having stage 4 cancer and now being back in the major leagues, you know, 6 months later. It's pretty phenomenal stuff. So I know that everybody's going to be rooting for him. This is just not a local story. This is a huge national story, and it's a great story about a really giving guy who got a bad deal, and then with great medical care at the Mayo Clinic and his doctors, is cancer-free now and ready to go back and compete. So I'm thrilled for him and his wife Carrie. I'm excited about them, and I think before the end of the evening for the White Sox and Angels game, that you'll see Hendricks in there getting the standing ovation, and a standing ovation not only from the White Sox dugout but from the Angels dugout as well.
It'll be a great thing, and I honestly cannot wait to see it happen. Bruce, appreciate you for hanging out with us today. Make sure you check out Inside the Clubhouse. This past weekend had Yan Gomes on, so you get to hear from him. Make sure you check it all out on the Odyssey app. Bruce, have a great evening, okay?
Always a pleasure, Gabe. Have a great night.
Always. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at MLB Bruce Levine. All right? It is Gabe Ramirez. Good stuff there. It's always good to circle back, Alex, you know? Like, I can have my little stupid conversations and say whatever I think that's in my heart and talk to the fans. But, like, to get to talk to Bruce Levine after that and, like, be like, hey, this is what we talked about earlier, yay or nay. And Bruce just be like, yeah, you know what? This is how I feel about, you know, because listen, if you read between the lines right there, it almost sounded like, now, obviously, I don't want to speak for Bruce Levine, right? But when he was saying, you know, I don't think they should give him 4 years at that age.
I think he says it was dangerous to give somebody at that age that type of contract.
Dangerous to give someone that type of money. But he did say, hey, just like I was saying earlier, you can give a guy a raise. I would say he's outperformed his contract.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, when you do something like that, regardless of the profession, you want to get paid accordingly, regardless of your age, especially when you feel like you can still perform at a high level. So Bruce did seem aligned with that, give him $27 million for a couple years. But you know Stroman, after going a complete game shutout, one hitter versus the Tampa Bay Rays, if he could just stay around that pace, getting like 6-7 innings, striking out 5 or 6, keeping the hits to a minimum, he's most certainly, maybe not 30, but he's most certainly going to want $27, $28 million for four. He's going to want 4 years. Because remember, you got to do the mental math in your head. I'm 32. 4 more years, I'm 36. That's probably the window. Like 37, 38, 39, you're asking yourself, am I still pitching? Can I still be effective on the mound? Like that's when those questions come into play. But like your mid-30s, you're still feeling good, especially when he's throwing 95.
Yeah, and that's the argument he'll make. He's like, he'll be like, well, I'm pitching some of the best ball of my career. Yes, age, but this is the best I've pitched in my career.
I want to be here in Chicago because I know y'all got money. Ah.
Yep, and I know that you just signed another pitcher who isn't performing that well, so I'm going to put the ball in your court. That was a power move, I got to say.
Yes, good PR move from the very beginning, because now fans will put the pressure on Hoyer and the Cubs organization as well. Why don't we just give him a couple extra dollars? We need that. But then what the problem that you end up having if you do something like that is kind of, not exactly the same, but kind of like the problem that the White Sox have with some of their position players. You create this logjam, which then doesn't allow for your younger talent in the minors to come up and have opportunities. And so there's a lot of arms in the Cubs farm system that people would like to see, but if Stroman was still here along with a Tyone, who you got to let pitch because you paid him the money, you got your Smiley and your Steele. It's like, you know, I know you got to pay those. You know, so it's a tough situation to put yourself in if you're the Cubs.
Yeah, and that phenomenon, not only with Marcus Stroman, but I know he's hurt right now, Cody Bellinger too, where you're like, what is the type of money if he comes back healthy and continues to play at this level, what type of money is he going to ask for? Is that going to create a logjam in a system where they are rich with outfield prospects?
They are not paying Cody Bellinger, and I'll tell you why.
Agreed.
The reason why is because Christopher Morel is playing a lot of center field last year. And if they're looking for a place for him to be, that's where you want your best athlete. And you're not putting him in a short. You got Dansby there. You just gave him a big contract. So to put Christopher Morel at center and allow him to blossom there to become a better position player who has an actual position. Listen, I know we're going to go to break in a second, but what did I say? I said something last year, or last time I was on the radio. What was it about? Oh, I was talking about how I played, how I was a pitcher for my Little League All-Star team at Churchill Park over on Damon and Armitage, in between Armitage and North Avenue right there. And I was trying to say that I knew what some of the pressures were like, you know, for guys that have thrown no hitters.
I remember that.
Yeah. So I did something stupid like that. And I'm going to say the same thing for a guy like Christopher Morel. Like, when I'm – so the short version is, the reason I even got my job here in radio is because I played baseball, okay? And playing left field and right field, completely different. Watching the ball off the bat, the trajectory, the way it spins, the angles that it goes in. And so, like, when you're making that jump from one side to the other, not that you can't, right? If you do it enough, it's just you'd prefer not to. I'd prefer not to have to do that math in my head while the ball's coming off the bat, reading line drives, going to. So for Christopher Morel, the same way they were saying about Andrew Vaughn getting him out of the outfield and putting him at first is going to do more for his game, the same thing can be said for Christopher Morel if you line him in that center field position. And when looking for a place for him to play, what can that be? Knowing that you can get assets in return for a Bellinger, along while allowing a star to play center field every day, that seems like a good exchange for me, and I'm sure that's something that the Cubs front office is going to be keeping an eye on. All right, we got one last break before I get up out of here. We're going to do a little Twitter time, man. We've been serious for 4 hours. It's time to laugh a little bit of pop culture, a little bit of sports. I call it Twitter time. We'll do it on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here, Memorial Day, coming to a close on the other side on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, what do you know? I got an admirer.
You spend so much time on Twitter, you're not enjoying the better things in life.
All those idiots on Twitter.
It's Twitter time with Gabe Ramirez.
I only want to know one thing. Can you cuss on Twitter?
I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
To be brutally honest, I'm not a Twitter guy.
Let's scroll through some tweets.
Chirp, chirp.
One of my favorite segments on the show. It is called Twitter time. It is where we mix a little pop culture and a little sports talk here, all right? In no particular order, let's get this thing started.
Chirp, chirp.
First up, from Odyssey Sports, says the Philadelphia 76ers have reached an agreement with Nick Nurse to become their next head coach, which is kind of wild. I mean, I get it, right? You give Nick Nurse the opportunity to have a wealth of talent on his squad, which outside of Kawhi Leonard never really had. So I just don't know. I mean, is James Harden going to come back? Are they going to add some pieces? Can Joel Embiid stay healthy again throughout an entire playoffs? I mean, just so much there. But All I know is the Philly fans are going to come down on Nick Nurse if he doesn't win them a championship.
Chirp, chirp.
Next up, this from underscore ML Football. It says free agent wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins posted a video of himself watching a Patriots Super Bowl on Instagram. What does that mean? I don't know. Maybe he just thought it was a cool game. You know, maybe he just wanted to get the people going. I mean, I have no idea. It was the Patriots comeback against the Atlanta Falcons. Just a great game to watch. And maybe he's just he was working out, so he can't control what's on the TV. People read into these things way too much.
Sure.
I just don't think where do you think he's gonna land, Alex?
Kansas City.
Ooh.
I know. Or Buffalo.
Yeah, I probably would say KC. He's like, he can go tell Patrick Mahomes, say, hey, dude, you need to go up and get a guy like Tom Brady did with Randy Moss back in the day.
Exactly.
I can
be
that dude.
That's the comparison.
And that's why he posted up the Patriots thing. That's where I was going. All right. This from the Irish Tribune says national champions. Notre Dame lacrosse defeats Duke 13-9 to win the 2023 NCAA championship for men's lacrosse. Light up Grace Hall. The Irish are number one. I don't follow a lot of men's lacrosse or lacrosse in general, but I just remember the Duke scandal from back in the day with their lacrosse team. And so every time I see them in the championship, I'm like, I remember about. I know what kind of parties you guys are throwing. But congratulations to the Notre Dame team. This from Mina Kimes. She said a tiny thing from the Succession finale, but I loved how long they nailed something I remember being shocked by in college. Wasp families, don't know what wasp means, but it says they have gorgeous kitchens and no food with the worst snacks. I don't know what houses you were going to, but all my rich friends always had a full fridge and always had the dopest snacks. So maybe we were just hanging out with the wrong people. This from Too Cool to Blog. It says Khalees. Alex, you know who Khalees is?
I do not.
All right. She sings the song My Milkshake Brings All the Boys to the Yard.
Okay, yes. I do know the song.
Hey, I figured you know the song. I just didn't know if you would be able to, without knowing the song, making the connection. She, along with Janelle Monae, have been on the internet showing a lot. And so it says Khalees shows off her outfit of the day on her farm. She has a farm. And so maybe she's getting the milk from the cows now. Or My Milkshakes Brings All the Boys to the Farm instead. And said Netflix or somebody needs to make a show about Khalees called Farming with Khalees. Something. Just give Khalees a show. They obviously just want to see her a little bit more often.
Chirp.
Like most of us. Got a couple more here. This from Vikings fan page on Twitter. It says Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson wants to win a ring for Minnesota. Shocker. Now, the reason I even pulled up that tweet was because for the last week, everyone's been talking about how the Lions are the favorite and will the Bears finish second. What? Why are we just not talking about the Minnesota Vikings? That's the stupidest thing to do. They still have Justin Jefferson. They still have Dalvin Cook. And they still have the gunslinging Kirk Cousins. So they might have lost some pieces, but you got to just don't overlook the Minnesota Vikings. Just you'll get two losses if you do.
Chirp.
All right. Let's see. The Notorious Lex says she ate an Italian beef with hot peppers at Wrigley Field. The farthest thing, the most Chicago thing she's ever done. You got to hang out with me. Maybe I'll get you some more stuff than that. She also wrote that she took the red line from Wrigley to White Sox Park for game two. And it's the most lit train ride she's ever been on because they were passing a bottle of whiskey around the train.
That sounds about right.
That's something else. Let's see. What do I want to talk about to end this whole thing? Oh, is this my last one? Oh, it is. All right, give me one last one.
Chirp.
Stars are in the building for Game 7 today. Justin Turner's there. Rajon Rondo's there. Jamal Crawford. And I can't wait to take my ass home so I can watch the end of that one because it's going to be a good one. Game 7 basketball, two of the best words in sports. All right, I'm about to get up out of here, mi gente. What a show. Marathon show today, 4 hours. 4 hours solo show? Holla at somebody that's doing that here on the Score. I'm sure people have in their previous lives. But 4 hours solo is not an easy task. But that's why you got to thank people at the very end. I want to thank Josh Nelson from Sox Machine for chatting with me earlier. Sam Amico giving us some great insight on Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And, of course, we just got off the phone with Bruce Levine with some great stuff on the Chicago Cubs and letting us know he talked to Liam today. So he's anticipating him talking and getting that standing O by both teams on the south side. Got to thank Alex Kuhn, producer today. Great job today, man.
Thank you.
We were flowing today.
We were. You did a great job, obviously. With how fast that Cubs game went.
Dude.
Had to hop on here quick, man.
I was in an Uber like, can we drive faster? Marcus Stroman is throwing a gem right now. All right. Next time I will be on your radios tomorrow, 6 o'clock, leading you into Cubs baseball. So I want you guys to enjoy what is left of your Memorial Day and then come hang out with us on the Score. Cubs baseball starting at 7:05, so make sure you're here for that. As Liam Hendricks Kyle Hendricks gets
Other
the opportunity.
Hendricks, yes.
I need to get out of here. All right, mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima, that means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Chirp, chirp.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.